Hello, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Southern Social Media. My name is Roger Bauer, and I'm going to be your solo host today because Wes is in the middle of client meetings, and I've got some meetings here a little bit later, so our schedules are not going to coincide today. So you know how Wes gets territorial about me branching off and doing solo podcasts, but wanted to get you some good stuff about the value of social media. That's going to be today's one and only topic, but there's a lot of stuff to talk about within this. So I'm getting a lot of this information from a recent Omniture report entitled The Value of Social Media. And some of the things they talk about in there include the hurdles for companies to implement social media marketing, some statistics, most effective tactics, most effective strategies, net budget spending. This is the number of companies that are either increasing their budget or decreasing their budget on social media marketing, some key takeaways, and the things that are most accurately measured within social media. First of all, let's start off by talking about where people get information about your products. Well, this is often the argument for social media, and the statistics bear that out. 70% say they get information about your products through social media sites. 58% through company websites, 57% through online news, 49% through review sites, and 44% through wikis, which a wiki is technically also a social media site because people can contribute content and that sort of thing. But it just bears out that social media does have a place within the business marketing continuum, if you will. And I'm going to transition that over to the net budget spending to talk about how companies are allocating their budgets in relation to various marketing tactics. Social media, and let me explain how I came up with this net budget spending. Marketing Sherpa produced a report that shows the number of companies that are either increasing spending on a particular marketing tactic or decreasing spending. And instead of looking at the number of people increasing versus decrease, I just did a net, the difference between the two, because they give you both sides, the number of companies that are increasing their spending versus the number that are decreasing. So the net budget spending, in other words, you take the positive and the negative out of that and just come up with a net figure. Hopefully that makes sense. Email to house list is the one where companies are focusing the most money increases or increase in budget spending. That's 34%. Social media is 28%. The rest of the tactics are all net negative. And I'll go down the list here very quickly. Telemarketing, negative 4%. Paid search, negative 6%. Mobile, believe it or not, negative 7%. Online display ads, negative 27%. Email to rent list, negative 37%. Direct mail, negative 40%. Event marketing, negative 49%. Print ads, negative 56%. And then finally, radio and TV, negative 77%. So what do these statistics tell us, really? Well, it seems as though people are reallocating event marketing, print ads, and TV, radio TV ads more to social media and emailing to their house list. I would say a lot of the direct mail decreases, which that's a net negative 40%, and also email to rented list, negative 37%. Those are being allocated more so to emailing to house list. Since email is very inexpensive, it's instant deliverability. You know when an email piece is delivered to somebody's inbox. You have a very good idea of the time range, and you can track email marketing throughout, whereas direct mail, it's very difficult. You don't know when the postal service is going to deliver your direct mail piece. You don't know when somebody's going to open it. I can give you a personal example. I've got a lot of email sitting in on my kitchen counter that hasn't been opened. It's probably been in there for weeks. It's just one of those things. I really don't like mail that much, although I know direct mail is a very effective marketing medium. And my personal recommendation would be not to overlook direct mail, because so many people are cutting back with it, that direct mail is going to become a more effective tactic because it's not being drown out with all of the junk mail marketers as much. I mean, yeah, you're always going to get junk mail. That's the way companies market. But it's going to be easier to stand out with not as many competitors hitting the mailbox. And you're getting more people hitting the email inbox. So that's where the battle is being waged, is for the email inbox. So you can stand out if you can craft a very effective direct marketing piece. So that's one little takeaway I would have for that. But in terms of radio, TV, and print ads, I think this we already knew this, that people were decreasing their, and companies are decreasing their spending on this because it's not as effective. They're not seeing the returns that they once did. A lot of this, their costs keep going up, even though there's not as much competition. So I think that radio and TV, along with print ads, I can tell you, I got a quote yesterday from a company to do some advertising with them. And if I boiled down, let me pull out my little sheet here where I did my calculations. And this is something I recommend everybody do if you don't do this already, which I think most people do this. But once you get a quote from an advertising outlet, and they give you how many impressions you're going to get, the typical conversion rate, either, let's say this is for an email marketing campaign to a rented list, which that happens to be one of the areas where email to rented list is a negative 37%. And the reason for thinking about doing a rented list is because of that. A lot of people are getting away from that. And once you build your house list, you don't have to rent list as much anymore. So they kind of tie in hand with the email to house list increasing by 34%. But anyway, back to the point. When somebody sends you a quote, and let's say for this particular example, they gave me a quote of 25,000 impressions, and their typical conversion rates or click-through rates are 1 to 1.75%. So if you do the math on that, 1% of 25,000 is obviously 250. So 250 people will click through on this, provided the ad's fairly decent and appealing, targeted, relevant, all of that. And out of that, let's say for my example, I've got a squeeze page that historically has converted right around 50%. So one out of every two visitors will become a lead. So out of those 250 clicks, I'm assuming a 1% click-through out of this email to the rented list, I would have 125 leads. Well, the quote was for, I get a first-time advertiser discount, so the quote to mail to these 25,000 people is $2,475. Well, for 250 clicks, that's $9.90 per click, and for 125 leads, that's assuming my squeeze page converts at the typical 50%, then that's $19.80 per lead. Now, for my business, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Yes, on the back end, I'm going to sell a product that starts off at $47 and grows to $97 if people don't act within a certain time range. But, and yes, I could make this a very effective campaign, provided that all these numbers play out as advertised and as planned and everything else. For a $47 product, I would only need so many people to buy the thing to make this a cost-effective campaign. But to pay $9.90 per click just doesn't make sense to me when I can go do a pay-per-click advertising campaign, more so a targeted pay-per-click advertising campaign where I go into Google, for instance, into AdWords and say, I only want to target my ad to these five sites. So I can bring my cost per click way down. I could also, I'm going to get relevant traffic to these particular sites because I've done the homework for them, and I'm telling Google these are the specific pages I want my ad to appear on, so I could bring my cost down and essentially bring my cost per lead way, way down because of that. So paying $19.80 a lead is very cost prohibitive to me, especially at this point, not knowing how well this 25,000 person solo mailing email list is going to work. I've got some very I'm very skeptical of even getting that 1% to 1.75% because, yeah, I know that it's targeted to the audience that I want to target, so I've done the research there, but to pay $19.80 per lead, not real appealing to me. Now, let's assume that I get a 1.75 click-through rate. Well, that would be 435 clicks, so it would cost me $5.69 per click. Still, way too high when compared with pay-per-click advertising and especially targeted pay-per-click advertising. I could bring the cost per click way, way, way down if I know what I'm doing with pay-per-click advertising and that sort of thing. So that would generate, if my squeeze page converts at the typical 50% that it has in the past for a very for a warm list. I mean, the people that were targeted that generated the 50% conversion rate, it was actually 52.88. It was a very targeted list, and the offer was very relevant to what they did. So all of those things were in line. Now, this particular mailing should be very relevant to small business owners because that's what I'm looking to target. So I would hope that I would get a little better click-through rate, but I mean, I've never advertised with this particular outfit before, so I don't really know. I don't know whether I should just trust their blanket recommended conversion rates or if it's actually going to be a campaign that doesn't perform as well. But anyway, if I had 218 leads that came out of the 435 clicks, assuming the 50% conversion rate, I'm paying $11.35 per lead. That's not totally out of the water. I mean, for a $47 product, I could make that a very effective campaign with the right follow-up sequences and the right offer and upsells and things of that nature. I could make it a very effective campaign. But looking at this, that can just tell you, that's one of the things I recommend to clients to do is when somebody sends you a proposal, crank your numbers out before you agree to go with them and then go back to them and say, hey, look, based on what it is that I typically see in terms of conversion rates for this offer, your ad either A, makes a lot of sense or doesn't make a lot of sense, and lay the numbers out there. If this person comes back to me and says, okay, based on your numbers, then what type of cost per lead are you looking for? And, you know, realistically, I would like to pay something more in lines with less than $4 per lead. I mean, so they're not even in the ballpark for this. But anyway, that was a very long, tangential conversation on how to set up an email campaign and also take advantage of, you know, the numbers that people send you in a proposal. So anyway, let's get back to the value of social media. I apologize for going on the long tangent, but I felt that's something that's worthy to share with you. Some of the things that they say are most effective for social media, the most effective strategies, increase brand reputation, 92%. These are the number of respondents that said that. 92% say that it helps influence brand reputation. 91% say it increases brand awareness. 87% say it increases or improves search rankings. 87% say it increases web traffic. 65% say social media helps them generate leads. 55% suggest that it helps to improve internal communications. And then 54% say that it helps increase sales. Now, I think that bottom number there, that 54% say it helps increase sales, I think you're going to see that number rise. Because what these statistics tell me is people haven't figured out how to monetize social media to a wide extent. There are people that are getting, and businesses that are getting more and more savvy about this stuff, and they're figuring out the landscape of social media, how to play the game, how to not ruffle feathers, how to have good social media etiquette or netiquette, as it's sometimes called. So I think you'll see that number increase quite a bit. I do agree with the brand reputation, brand awareness. I think that social media is very effective for that. And I also believe it is extremely effective with improving search rankings because it's very hard to distinguish traditional search engine optimization. It's hard to believe that we're calling it traditional search engine optimization because search engine optimization has only been around 9 or 10 years or so, because the major search engines in their current form have only been around 9 or 10 years. So obviously SEO has evolved quite a bit, but it's evolved to the point that social media optimization, which I don't really like that term, but that's what it's being tagged as, so we'll roll with that. But social media optimization versus search engine optimization, it's very hard to distinguish the two from one another anymore, because social media plays such an important role in search engine optimization and improving search rankings. So, okay, so where do people get information about your products? I think I talked about this already. 70% social media sites, 58% company websites, 57% online news, 49%. I did talk about this because I remember I mentioned the wikis, so I apologize. I'm repeating myself. So what is most accurately measured with social media? This is always the big gotcha from a lot of small business owners and just executive standpoint, is you can't effectively measure this stuff. So what is most accurately measured? Well, they suggest that 32% of the respondents say blog/social network ads. I could see that, because you can track the ad online very easily. You can see where most of your traffic is coming from. You can put a code in with that particular ad, so that way if you use something like Google Analytics, you can track it, or if you use a third-party paid statistical analysis package for your website, then you can see exactly where your traffic is coming from, and you can place codes in there to track your ads very effectively. Online news distribution, that's 18%. Now you can also see this, because you can track to see where does your news release ultimately end up. I mean, do you get a story written about you? Do you get some mentions on popular blogs and industry websites? Do you get interview requests? Are you getting to get on TV as a result of your online news distribution, your own news release distribution? Does the online news release distribution generate traffic to your website? You can track that very effectively too, just like you can the social network ads and the blog ads, because you can put the tracking code in there just the same with the news release distribution. Or if you really want to get simple with an online news release distribution, you can have people go to a special web page that you know that everybody that comes to that specific page is a result of your news release distribution. I think it's a lot easier just to put your news release out there and look at your, say, Google Analytics and see, all right, who's driving the traffic here? You can track that stuff very easily. It also says that user reviews and ratings, 15% of people say that that's accurately measured. Blogger-journalist relations, 11%. Forums discussion groups, 11%. Company blog, 9%. Social network profile, 7%. So you see the drop-off from blog and social network ads, then the online news release distribution, that's 18%. Blog network ads, or social network ads, 32%. There's quite a bit of drop-off between the blog/social network ads to the online news release distribution, and then to user reviews ratings. I mean, to have 32% as your top thing, that tells me that there are people were still very fuzzy on how to accurately measure social media marketing and its effectiveness and reach, so forth and so on. So that's something that you hear quite a bit about social media, is you can't accurately measure it. There are ways, but they're not the traditional exacting ways. We'll get to that point. And there are some tools out there that will help you, some paid tools that will help you measure a lot of this stuff very accurately, very effectively. But that's not what the podcast is all about today. So what are the most effective tools or tactics with a social media campaign? User reviews and ratings, 47% say that those are very effective. Others, 46% say that blogger-journalist relations, very effective tactics. 42% forums, discussion groups. 36% online news release distribution. 34% company blog. 22% social network profiles, and 16% blog/social network ads. Those are the most effective tactics. Now, what do these statistics reveal to us? Well, while you can track a blog or social network ad very effectively, or at least most people say, the most people that responded to this said that that was the most accurately measured, 16% say it's effective. That's the lowest rating. So it's very difficult to align the tactics with the measurements at this point. So that, to me, is a key takeaway. As you can see, it's almost flipped upside down to where the most effective tactics versus the most accurately measured. In other words, the least effective tactic is the most accurately measured. Go figure. So what I also would say that suggests is that if they can measure these things, then blog/social network ads are not really effective at accomplishing the goal. I don't know if I agree with that or not, but you know, 16% of the people, only 16% say that it's an effective tactic. So I guess I do agree with that. It's what I'm trying to say. The social network profiles, only 22% say that's a most effective tactic. And I think that's largely in part because people haven't figured out how to create an appealing profile. I mean, a lot of people just do the very basics. They put their name, they might put their picture, and that's it. They go out there and they start rolling, or they talk about a bunch of nonsense in their profile. They don't really share anything about who they are, what it is they're all about, what the social network is going to contribute to them, or anything like that. So there's no real reason for people to click through. There's not an appealing statement there, or I hate the term, but elevator pitch. I think that's just so retarded, but whatever. I think there's a better term than elevator pitch, but I understand you understand the concept too, so no need to go into that. But I just think it's kind of a silly term that has gotten a lot of legwork out of it, and it's just I'd never have liked that term. But anyway, I think that's the reason why these social network profiles are not more effective, is because people haven't figured out how to incorporate their elevator pitch into their profile. Now, the company blog, only 34% say that that's an effective tactic. And I think the reason for that is you've heard so many people say that content is king. And content is king, but quality content is king, not just content for the sake of content. And you've got a lot of firms out there that are just cranking out content every day for the sake of cranking out content. They're not really contributing a whole lot, and their content is not engaging. It's not encouraging interaction. It's not appealing to their target audience, and it's mainly because they're using this content to improve search rankings. Now, hey, I can slam myself for this because for a while I did that. I knew that if I went back, you'd look back in my blog archives from years and years and years ago. I mean, I think I've been blogging since 2005, something like that, so 4 years, or maybe even 2004. Yeah, I think it was 2004. So 5 going on 6 years, and for a while there, I mean, I was reading all the SEO stuff. I'm adept at SEO, and that's one of the services I offer through my firm, so I knew if I can crank out some content on a regular basis, as long as it's not a bunch of duplicate content, then, hey, it'll help me improve my search rankings, which that's the main reason I started my blog anyway. I didn't really understand how to blog effectively. I wasn't really looking to contribute a whole lot of value. I was just wanting the page rank value of having a lot of content on my website. I wanted Google to see that I had thousands of pages of content, because that's what all the search engine optimization gurus were telling people. And, I mean, it bore out. I mean, it made a lot of sense to have a lot of content, because search engines were digging that. They were ranking sites that had thousands of pages of content very well. They were making those quote-unquote authority sites. So I think that a lot of people have gotten into that whole blogging for SEO's sake, and it's taken them off the path of generating quality content over just quantity. And I think that's the reason why the blogs aren't as effective as they once were. There are still a lot of blogs out there that are very effective. And something else that I've also seen, and a lot of people fall victim to this with blogs, is they get a blog that gets some traction within the search engines, so they improve their search ranking. They start to get more and more traffic, so that you know, reemphasizes the fact that, hey, this content stuff really is, that is the key. This is the, you know, this is the way to do things. And then people start and get greedy. They go out there and they sign up for an AdSense account. And then on every single post, they've got AdSense baked into every single post. So that from what used to be a blog that people enjoyed to go to read the content or maybe you have funny videos or whatever it is, they're getting value out of your blog. Now all of a sudden you've tried to monetize it at the expense of your content. So now you're detracting away from the content that people came to love and that was contributing a lot of value to your blog and to your business. Now you've gone and tried to put AdSense everywhere and try to monetize at every turn. That turns people off because that gets back to that whole broadcast advertising model to where it's like everywhere you turn, there's a marketing message. There is a, especially right in the middle of the blog post. I mean, you see all these ads by Google right there in the middle of the blog post. I mean, that to me, I don't know about you, but that is a turnoff. And I think a lot of people feel that way. It's like, oh, great, you know, this is just more. They start to view that blog as a junk blog or a spam blog. I think I heard somebody say the other day it's a flog. But that's actually a fake blog, which you see a lot of that too, to where you have people that will generate these blogs, and the whole basis for generating the blog is to have a bunch of bogus content that's related to a particular topic or subject to increase search rankings to sell a product. You see a lot of this with the diet supplements, the fitness industry is notorious for these because you got the diet supplements, you've got the fitness products, you've also got the vitamins and so forth. It's a huge market, but people set up these blogs with the whole intent of just improving their search ranking so they'll get enough traffic to sell whatever product it is that's behind the blog. So it's really a throwaway blog, but its whole purpose is to sell a product. Well, people are desensitized to that. They're not paying attention to that crap anymore. So that's the reason I think blogs probably aren't as effective for certain segments of each industry. That's not to say that the true top blogs aren't still getting a lot of value out of it, but anyway, went on and on and on about blogs. Apologize for that. But I think you get the point. Okay, so who's using social media? We talked about this on a podcast, I believe it was last week, so I'm not going to hammer on this too much, but 80% of marketers are using social media regardless of the business size. Only 20% are not. So you got your 80-20 split there. Not that surprising on that. 25% of B2B companies do not integrate social media at all. Only 11% of B2C. Now what I think this suggests is that the B2C companies are realizing that a lot of people that would buy their products or services go to social media to get those peer reviews. And we talked about where do people get information about your product. 70% get them from social media sites. So the B2C market has figured this out. B2B hasn't figured this out to the same degree as B2C because I've had a lot of prospects tell me this, you know, hey, I'm B2B, social media doesn't apply. Do relationships apply to B2B? Aren't most B2B sales, business-to-business sales, a result of relationship and consultative consulting marketing? So when I hear that, I think that's a bogus objection to utilizing social media for a business, especially B2B, because at the end of the day, who are you trying to sell to? You're trying to sell to a human being. How do you sell to a human being? You build a relationship. You build trust. You show value. So I'm not going to get on the soapbox too much on that, but I think B2B world has a lot of catching up to do, and a lot of it has to do with mentality. Okay. Only 22% of B2B marketers integrate social media with off and online strategies. 38% of B2C integrate with both. And I think you need to do both. You need to include social media with your direct mail campaigns or your postcard campaigns or your event marketing, things of that nature. I mean, it does have a place. You want to connect with people in as many mediums as possible. So that way they can get to know you, they can associate a face and a person with your brand or your company, and they can build that relationship. So you need to integrate it with both your off and online strategies, if at all possible. So what are the major hurdles for implementing social media? The number one hurdle mentioned is a lack of knowledgeable staff. 46% of the respondents stated that is the top hurdle. The second one is inability to measure ROI. That's 43% of the respondents mentioned that. And we've touched on that already a little bit in this podcast. The next one is budgeting or funding. One out of every three respondents said that was a hurdle. The next one is management resistance, 32%. Only 18% said technical complexity was an issue, and then 14% said not relevant to market. And I just talked about how a lot of B2B marketers say that social media is not relevant to their market. I would bet that 14% is primarily B2B marketers because they just don't understand that it's relationship business. And I would imagine those B2B marketers are probably struggling a little bit, or maybe more than a little bit, a lot of bit. Because if you make that, I don't mean to be insulting or anything like that, but if you make that ignorant statement that, oh, social media doesn't apply to my business because I'm B2B, or another one that I love, my audience is too sophisticated to respond to that type of marketing. Oh, my God. I had somebody tell me that once, and I almost laughed in their face because it's like, oh, your audience is too sophisticated. Are you not trying to build a relationship with your market? Are your customers too sophisticated that they don't respond to phone calls, emails, social media friend requests, or online chat, things of that nature? I mean, come on. We're people here. We all respond in some regard to some of the same stimulus. That's not to say that we all respond to the same stimuli in the same fashion, but there are elements that appeal to each one of us because we are human. So anyway, I'm not going to get on a tangent on that because that could take up a whole another hour and you don't want to listen to a rant anyway, especially if you listened to last week's rant. And I'm in a good mood today, so what's the purpose in ranting? Okay, so let's talk about that lack of knowledgeable staff. If you're in one of those companies that is wanting to implement social media and you do have a lack of knowledgeable staff to pull it off, then seek a third-party consultant that is good with this stuff. I mean, Wes and I are always talking about how you can hire us to help you. Even if you don't hire Wes or me, you can hire somebody to help you with your social media strategy. There are some firms out there that are great with this stuff. There are some independent consultants out there that are awesome with social media. I mean, Wes and I are good with this stuff. It's something that we're digging into every single day. We live, eat, and breathe this stuff. Same thing with search engine optimization, list building, I mean, internet marketing. I mean, I can speak from my own experience. I literally do live, eat, sleep, breathe this stuff. I mean, the whole list building, internet marketing, search engine optimization, social media, on and on and on, personalization, direct response, advertising and marketing, that's my life. I mean, it's what I do. It's one of the things that it pumps my gas. It gets me motivated, and it's really something that I'm passionate about. But I'm not the only one. I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are really good with this stuff because they are passionate about it. And I met with a guy earlier today that we've, throughout the last few years, we've met on a consistent basis, and we've talked business, and we always leave the meeting re-energized because we contribute so much to one another because we're passionate about related things. I mean, his passions in this particular industry are in a little bit different segment than mine. And he's a little more adept with the creative type stuff, whereas I'm a little more adept with the strategic or tactical type of stuff, strategic and tactical, to where the behind-the-scenes stuff, how do you pull off the big-picture idea? And he's got a lot of really good big picture ideas that it's like, oh yeah, here's how you pull this off. So we always leave motivated and re-energized after meeting with one another, and we're going to partner on some things and do stuff moving forward, and that's always been the plan. I mean, we've always had that in the back of our mind. He's been working for another company. Now he's branching out on his own, so we're going to do a lot more stuff together. But there are people out there that can help you overcome this hurdle of a lack of a knowledgeable staff. And if you don't want to hire somebody to do it for you or help you with it, seek out some training. I mean, I know I've got some training things out there that you can access for very, I mean, stupid reasonable pricing. I mean, I've had a lot of people tell me that my prices are way too low, which that's I like to hear that because that tells me they find a lot of value in the products and the training programs that I've created. But at the same time, I'm not making these things so cost prohibitive that you can't go out and take a flyer on it. You're going to get your value and then some. Plus, there's a money-back guarantee. I mean, it's a can't lose. I mean, I'm not making it a $4,000 product or a $2,000 product to where it's going to eliminate 95% of the market. I've tried to make it accessible for everybody. And I also, I understand this too. You may have never heard of Roger Bauer. In fact, I'm betting you probably haven't. So, you know, I'll meet you halfway. I haven't made these things too cost prohibitive for you. Anyway, this isn't a pitch fest, so I'll move on. Inability to measure ROI. And this is the last one I'm going to talk about, and then we're going to close it. Now, one more thing I'll talk about, and then we'll close it out. So, inability to measure ROI. We talked about that over in the most accurately measured social media tactics and the most effective strategies and things of that nature. And this is just like anything else. If you don't have a strategy at the beginning and you don't have a baseline to work from, then yeah, it's going to be damn near impossible to measure your social media marketing effectiveness. So always start with mapping out a strategy. And if you don't have baselines to work from now, start forming them. I mean, you should know how many visitors your website gets on a daily basis. You should know how many visitors are coming to your blog, how many are commenting on a regular basis, how many tweets you get, or how many retweets are done in a week. And I mean, things of that nature. You can form a baseline to see if you are becoming more or less effective with your social media marketing campaigns. And it always is going to start with a baseline, because if you don't have something to compare to, then you don't know if you've made progress. And also, if you don't know where you're headed, then you don't know if you're staying on the right path. So form a strategy that outlines where you're headed, form baselines so that way you know where you've come from, and if you start to deviate from the path and you're not heading towards your goals, then adapt and adjust. I mean, it's a lot of this stuff is common sense, but you know what they say, common sense isn't so common. But I mean, it's true. A lot of people just don't take the time to map out a strategy. And that's the one pothole I see in a lot of people's social media marketing campaigns, is they don't have a strategy, they don't have specific goals that they want to achieve with social media, and they don't have a baseline to compare back to. Like, if you don't know how many web visitors you get a day, then how do you know if social media is driving more traffic to your website? And if you're not measuring how many leads you capture based on the number of visitors, then how are you going to know if social media is driving more leads to your business? Or if you don't know how many of those leads convert into sales after X number, you don't know your conversion rates and your conversion timetables, then it's going to be hard to say whether social media is effective or not. So I think that's what this inability to measure ROI, it's a deeper problem than just being able to throw something out there. Well, I can't measure it. That's nonsense. You can measure it, but you just have to have something to measure it against. You have to have a strategy to measure it moving forward, to know whether you're moving towards your goals or away from. And I think that a lot of people fail to map out an effective social media strategy. So that's where it all starts. And you'll hear me hammer that 9 Ways to Sunday because it's that important. I mean, you've got to have a strategy before you move forward. It's just like a sports team. You know, not everybody can win the Super Bowl. There are probably a handful of teams every single season that know going into the season, we got a chance to win the Super Bowl. The Lombardi Trophy can come back with us this year. So those teams have a far different strategy than those teams that know going into it that they're going to suck. And if they do really well this particular season because of their talent level and depth and things of that nature, that they'd be doing good to win 6 games. They know it. They know it going into it. I mean, look at the Detroit Lions this year. They know that going into it, they didn't win a game last season. So they know they're not going to the Super Bowl. If somebody went and tried to convince them that they're going to the Super Bowl, they'd probably get their lights knocked out. They know they're not going to the Super Bowl. But they know if they can win 5 or 6 games, that would be an effective campaign based on last year's results. Now, you take somebody like Pittsburgh, on the other hand, and they did win the Super Bowl last year, and they've got a lot of the talent coming back. They're one of the teams that anticipates going to the playoffs and having a chance to play for the Super Bowl. So their focus is more towards the Super Bowl, whereas Detroit's is, hey, let's see if we can win 5 or 6 games this year. That would be an effective campaign for us. Doesn't sound like much. Same thing with social media. I mean, if you don't have a strategy mapped out, you don't know where you're headed, then it's kind of hard to figure out whether you're achieving success or not. I mean, success is measured differently for every single company, every single human being. Your definition of success is not going to look like my definition of success. And that's good. Because your goals are going to be different. Your aspirations are going to be different. I mean, I hammer on the U of L football program, University of Louisville, that is, because I think Steve Kragthorpe, to his core, and I'm going to get on a little bit of a rant and a tangent here, but to his core, he is a loser. I mean, if you look at everywhere he's been, his results are just a tad bit above average in his best seasons. So when you hire someone like that, you send the signal to the fan base, hey, winning is not as important as some of this other nonsense that this guy talks about. You know, wins and losses are for the fans. If I had a coach say that to me when I was playing baseball, you'd have to peel me off of that guy. Because the reason I played the game, just like Herm Edwards said, hello, you play to win the game. Bingo. Couldn't have said it better myself. And Herm's one of my favorites, but we won't get off on that too much. But still, there's different strategies for different companies. Just like there are in sports, there's different strategies for different teams because everybody knows going into the season what their odds of success are going to be. And little tweaks here and there can make all the difference in the world between having a successful campaign or a failing campaign. So when you see people say that, oh, you can't measure it, or there's no metrics that you can put in place to measure the effectiveness, that's signaling big red flashing light. Hey, you haven't mapped out a strategy. You don't have a baseline to compare it back to. Okay, so last thing I'm going to talk about. What is social media complementary to? 94% say SEO, 90% say email, 83% say paid search. And then it drops off to 64% direct mail, 61% print ads. And all of these stats come from Marketing Sherpa. And I want to give a shout out to them for sharing this report and the statistics and everything else in there. And I hope you've gotten a lot out of this particular podcast because this has been more strategic and even tactical and focused, because I want to give you this stuff to chew on and think about as you move forward with social media. I know Wes is going to be irritated that I branched out on my own and did all this good stuff, because, man, he's always giving me crap about having statistics. But, I mean, you can learn a lot from others. And look at what other people are doing, and then incorporate the best of the best for your own business, you've got a better chance of success. So if you are doing any of these things, SEO, email marketing, paid search, direct mail, print ads, you might want to look at social media if you're not already looking at it. Because you see these respondents are saying that it's very complementary to these particular things. And I mentioned before, it's very hard to distinguish SEO from social media optimization. Like I said before, I don't really like the term social media optimization, but that's the accepted term for it now, so that's what we'll call it. But it's very hard to distinguish those two. And I can see how email marketing would be very complimentary, because a lot of these social media sites give you the ability to email people within your following or the people that you're networked with directly. Makes sense that email marketing would be very complimentary to social media. Same thing with paid search. I can see that because you're already online. Makes sense. Anyway, some of the key takeaways from this report, and this is Omniture has shared this, enable conversion metrics and classifications on your referrers data. So in other words, be able to track who's sending you what. Categorize your traffic sources. Let me read this again because this doesn't make sense to me. Categorize your traffic sources data offline and upload to create custom reports. Okay. I'd have to read that a few more times for it to really register with me. People love linking to cool photos and media. That's something we probably should have talked about a little bit more in this podcast. But compared to other social media sites, social news and social bookmarking sites are great for traffic but poor for engagement. Makes sense. You can drive a lot of traffic through social news, social bookmarking sites, because that's what's popular, that's what's hot, but it's not going to really engage people to share a conversation or share a whole lot of opinions back and forth. Overall, visitors from social media sites are not as engaged as the average visitor. Interesting. And then finally, social media visitors can trigger a domino effect on other social media platforms. Now that, this would be my closing thought, is you look at your Twitter stream, your Twitter followers, the people you're following on Twitter, that'll usually carry through to Facebook. Facebook usually carries through to LinkedIn or vice versa. So you have a whole chain of sites that will start to help you connect with the same people on multiple sites. And I think that's what that key takeaway is trying to say. Anyway, I'm going to close this down because I've been talking for a little over 45 minutes now, and that's plenty of time to talk. My voice is getting a little bit raspy. Need a drink of water. But I thank you for listening to today's Southern Social Media podcast. Sorry my good buddy Wes couldn't join me because he's off at client meetings, and I've got to get off to a few myself. But if you are looking to build a list in rapid fashion, please consider visiting listsamurai.com. I've got a free ebook there. It's 126 pages. It's not fluff. It's not big type. In fact, it's 11-point typeface and not a whole lot of pictures, but it is a lot of how-to and step-by-step information. Where pictures are relevant, you'll get pictures or screen captures. It's one of those deals that I want to have the value proposition so high that you feel like at the end of it that you should have paid a lot of money for it. I'll be flat out honest about what my aspirations are with this particular lead magnet. I want you to download the ebook. I want you to implement some of the stuff, and I want to get your testimonial. And I also want to get some statements from you saying that I'm an idiot for giving this ebook away for free because there's so much value in it. That's my selfish goals. But my goals for you out of the ebook are to help you grow your business and build your business. So, listsamurai.com. This will conclude another edition of the Southern Social Media Podcast. This is Roger Bauer signing off. Talk to you again tomorrow.